part three. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott. All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And it sounds like God's back.
It sounds like the Lord has made his presence known
this
once again, John.
Episode 68, Part 3, the heavy metal episode, and God seems to show up again on the heavy metal episode.
Yeah, what's up with that? You must like the heavy metal episode.
I don't know, man.
Because I was all ready to go, And then you heard that. Yeah, I heard that. I was like, and he knew right before I was going to start, too. You know, because he's omnipotent.
I think God's singing this song. Oh, no lyrics here. Sorry. Was that God?
Yes, John. That was me in my wilder, younger days.
That's out of sight.
Thanks for having me back. You know, I used to look forward to Sundays as a day of rest, but now I look forward to Sundays to come in and hang out with you two.
That's cool.
That is out of sight. Well, last week he said he was going to bring in some missing gospels, missing Jesus gospels, John, which I think you knew something about.
Well, I know about the Gospel of Thomas, Doubting Thomas. It's one of the Gnostic Gospels from the Nag Hammadi.
That's right, John.
Found in 1945.
That's exactly right. That's why I like you two guys. You vet your stuff. You know your shit. You know what I'm saying?
The Lord is cussing.
Well, you know, you start listening to old episodes of TTN, and it just becomes part of your vocabulary. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear that.
No doubt, right, John?
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, that's funny.
No doubt.
And that's exactly right, Scott. I brought in the Infancy Gospel of Thomas. Now, this was excluded from the Bible by church fathers in the 4th century. And this fills in some of the missing childhood years of my son, Jesus.
Wow. Well, and
John, you referred to these as the Gnostic Gospels at some point.
Yes.
Is that the same thing?
The Gnostic Gospels, yeah.
Is this?
Yeah, I believe so.
All right, well, usually the Lord meets with me.
It's the Gospel of Thomas, isn't it?
Well, he doesn't meet with me earlier in the week, but he talks to me.
Divinely.
We figure out who's going to handle what, but this time he just caught me by surprise. I didn't even know he was going to show up, so I might have to just turn it over to him.
Oh, okay.
Because he didn't give me any. Last week he brought in scrolls and stuff.
And you got to.
And this week.
Did he let you use your fucking marker on the scrolls?
Oh, maybe that's why I didn't bring in scrolls.
That could be.
Yeah, because I was marking them up.
Yeah, you're not supposed to use a Sharpie on, like, papyrus.
Well, that is true. You know, any other marker would be easy for me to get out, but those Sharpies, really, it was even difficult for me to get that out. It took some time, so I didn't forward the scrolls to Scott as I did last week.
Because, especially that little note, the old man is totally fucking crazy here.
He's just a knucklehead, what can I say?
Yeah.
No, right, well,
I think Scott was talking about you, the old man.
What do you mean? I'm
sorry.
What?
I didn't mean to get you in trouble.
Don't get me smited.
I'm going to call you Scott Smite. Scott Smoted.
All right, so I guess he has a couple of stories he just wants to pull out from the Infant Gospel of Thomas. Is that correct, Lord, our Savior?
Well, that's exactly right, John. I'm sorry, Scott. You know, I get you two mixed up all the time. It's kind of like when I listen to the mediocre show. I can't tell those two guys apart.
Right.
I don't know which one's Eric and which one's Taylor. They sound exactly the same to me, and they never say, I'm Eric. And I'm Taylor, so I don't know. Of course I'm kidding. I know everything.
Right.
Just give it a shout out to the mediocre show.
Omnipotent.
Of course.
Omnibenevolent.
I'm all those things.
Yeah. Everything omni. All. Knowing.
I'm not bad looking either. I'm a pretty good looking
pretty
God.
Pretty svelte.
When it comes down to gods.
Do you got a tan? Are you like a dark skinned, olive skinned
being? You know, it's just like my, we talked about this, just like my clothes. I change my skin tone throughout the year, depending on the season.
Right.
In spring, I like to go with the olive. In summer, I like to go with the really dark black,
oh,
like purple almost. You know, like Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, right.
Where you're like almost purple.
You're so black.
That's a good summer look for me because I like to wear white in the summer. It's a good contrast with
yeah.
my skin tone. And then in the fall, I lighten it up quite a bit. I go pretty Aryan in the fall.
Pretty Aryan, yeah.
Yeah, I get the crew cut and the whole thing. And then, you know, winter, whatever.
Do you trim the beard down to a goatee?
Sometimes I go goatee. Sometimes I go
with Fu Manchu.
The Fu Manchu. Yeah, I change it up all the time.
That's hot, man. That's hot. We got to get you on the red carpet at the Oscars or something.
How do we do that?
Yeah.
He doesn't make his appearance.
I think he's there, but
his presence
just don't see him.
To us, we just hear him.
Right.
So, but he's got. I'm sure he could pull it off.
Well, maybe we'll get to walk with him like Fred Phelps. What do you think of that, Fred Phelps?
Fred Phelps, he's my main man. I told you that last week. I love the Fred Phelps.
He's a little lunatic, though.
He's a little bit out there, but you gotta like his passion, don't you, John?
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's very passionate, man.
Passionate,
very passionate about me, the Lord.
Right. And you're a jealous God.
I am. I'm a very jealous God.
That's right. You don't want us worshiping anybody else.
Well, 6 of the 10 commandments are based on my insecurities, John. I mean, it's pretty obvious that I'm the number one.
You are so vain, guy.
I come number one.
May I call you G?
You can call me G if you
want. That's all right.
I'm the number one man.
Right.
Right?
You're the number one deity.
No doubt,
you ain't no golden calf. Right?
I'm sorry. Are we going to let him get to the missing gospel? I don't even know how many stories he brought in, but...
Well, that would be, you know, and it's just part of spreading the word of Jesus. And I was kind of upset that they left the infancy gospel of Thomas out of the Bible. I didn't like that decision at all, but I'm going to let them do what they want. But I'm here tonight to just tell a couple of stories about my baby Jesus.
Well, I heard, didn't Jesus whack some guy?
Well, whack, that's a little harsh. I like the word smite. But yeah, get this, John and Scott.
You got a little gas there, G-Man?
This is when Jesus was about 5 years old.
Yeah.
Jesus went through the village and a running child bumped against his shoulder. Jesus became angry and said to him, "You won't get to your destination." Immediately, the boy fell down and died. When people saw that there was done, they asked, "Where did this young child come from, that every word of his is an accomplished work?" And the parents of the dead child came to Joseph and blaming him, saying, "With a child like that, you cannot dwell with us in the village, not until you teach him to bless and not to curse, because he is killing our children."
Wow.
Joseph called Jesus aside and scolded him, saying, "Why are you doing such things?
What the fuck are you doing?
The neighbors are suffering and hate us. They will cause trouble for us." But
who
Jesus said,
"And what does it do?
I know that you don't really know what you're saying. Nevertheless, for your sake, I will keep my silence. However, the ones who complain will bear their punishment." Immediately after he said this, the ones that accused him were stricken blind.
Wow.
Yeah.
So don't mess around, man.
Don't mess with a 5-year-old Jesus.
Yeah, he'll fuck you up. He'll bitch slap your ass.
Yeah, he wasn't very kind to a lot of people. And you know, when you're young God. you know, you got to make your presence known right away.
Well, how was Jesus in the terrible twos?
Oh, the terrible twos. He was, it was just a nightmare. But I stayed away, and that's one of the reasons why I impregnated Mary with my own seed. So, you know, I got Mary and Joseph together. I conned Joseph into thinking that it was his own son for a while. And, you know, so he could get over the terrible twos and stuff. And I really didn't talk to Jesus until he was about 18.
Well, it's tough for a young guy when his real dad isn't around, you know?
Well, it is. So I had to give him some fake dad. But, you know, he was God. He was a son. He's me, right?
Yeah.
So he knows that he's a God.
Yeah.
So that was hard to get around, but I think I made the right decision.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough on the little guy, so you got to, especially if he's going to be mortal.
Right.
And have, you know, some divine powers, just enough to, you know, walk on water and shit like that.
Well, just enough to dupe everybody into thinking they're miracles.
Right,
know?
Right.
You're exactly right, John. I sent my only begotten son to wash away the sins of all of you
the world.
Sodomites, you sinners. And Phelps was right. I've about had it.
With John and Scott.
It's
complete nonsense.
Colbert.
And Stewart.
That's right.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I don't mean that in the wrong way.
Of course not.
In the best way possible. Totally. Absolutely.
Hold on, I'm sipping a champagne of beer.
Oh,
right,
nice.
Now.
How do you like a champagne of beer there, God? G.
Oh, it's
G
my man. Favorite. I'm going to perpetually fill your refrigerator with the champagne of beers.
That's out of sight.
That's my gift to you, John.
Thanks, G. That's out of sight.
Wow.
So what else you got there?
Well, that was a pretty riveting. So baby Jesus, well, not baby, but 5-year-old Jesus whacked some kid. And then everybody else who was complaining about
him. Oh, so I was right.
He blinded him.
Oh.
Well, you don't even listen to God when he's here? I know you don't listen to me.
No, I did listen to him, but didn't I say before you started reading, didn't he whack some kid?
Well, I think that's why he went right to that story.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. I was vetting it with God. You know,
and how many people get the opportunity to do
right.
that? John?
I mean, who else but God to give you the actual word of himself?
All right. So, well, Lord, our Savior, do you have any other story?
Well, I got a couple more. These are some of my favorite passages from the infant book of Thomas. The other thing about this, what I like is there's not a lot of ye's and thee and thou. You know, it's just written in more, not grammatically correct, but more flowing English, which makes it easier for me to recite and remember. So when the villagers saw what Jesus had done, they became frightened and confused and said to each other, "Every word he speaks, whether good or evil, comes true." When Joseph saw what Jesus had done, he took hold of his ear and twisted it sore. The young child became angry and said, "It's bad enough that you seek and do not find, but too much for you to act so foolishly.
Take it back!
I am not your child, so don't bother me."
Wow.
Yeah, and again, rebelling. He knows Joseph's not his dad. He knows that I'm the dad.
He's upset. He's having a hard time.
You come to the realization that God is your father. You're gonna
have some issues.
Phase,
yeah, you're gonna have some baggage.
Yeah, you're gonna go through a phase.
Right. I hear that.
The teacher, though, Zacharias, heard when Jesus said these things to his father. Not me. That would be his father, Joseph.
Right.
After a few days, he came near unto Joseph and said unto him, "You have a wise child. Give him to me that he may learn letters and not be rebellious."
May learn letters. That's nice.
Nobody but God can control this child. You know, that's about the time that Joseph started to figure it out, too.
Yeah.
That Jesus was the Son of God. My son, John.
Right. Hello?
Hello. All right. I guess he's done.
He just comes and goes, you know?
He just comes and goes.
Comes, I get, well, you know, he's omnipotent, so he could be, right now, he's in China. He could be in Indonesia.
He could be all those places.
At the same time. Wow. Yeah, that's riveting. That's some heavy stuff. That's heavy. Heavy. Heavy having the Lord amongst us.
Yeah. All right. Whew. Well, wow. Maybe, I don't know, does he have one more?
What's your fucking point? Well, actually, I do. I have one more. And this is going back to school, and I think it's important to talk to kids about education, because education is the most important thing in the history of the universe. You need to have an education to get anywhere. Not only in the spoils of the sodomite of Earth, but you're going to need to have an education to walk with me.
Yeah. I got to get better backing music for you.
I can handle that if you'd like.
Okay.
I can take care of the production if you'd want.
Yeah, when you get a chance.
I can bring my own backing.
That'd be great. Do you got like a theme song, the G theme song?
No. But you know, I always did like Led Zeppelin. And what I could do is I could have them all here perform live for you.
That'd be great.
That could be my backing track, you know, because I'm down with the Bonham, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite drummers, and we hang out all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt.
What about the seven trumpet players, the seven horns?
You get tired of that, you know. You get tired of hearing that over and over again. And, you know, you're going to hear that before the world ends.
Yeah.
So, it's not something that you guys want to hear, but I got to hear him practice it all the time. And I got to tell you,
that's a pain in the ass.
You got a couple millennium before they get their shit together.
Oh,
yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's got to be brutal.
Well, to meet my standards anyway.
Right. Right.
All right, so now I'm going to tell a story about Jesus going back to school.
All right.
Joseph saw the understanding of the child. He decided that Jesus should not be ignorant of letters. And he took him and delivered him to another teacher. Jesus said to him, "If you're really a teacher, tell me the meaning of alpha, and then I will tell you the meaning of beta." The frustrated teacher smacked him on the head.
Ow!
Jesus got angry and cursed him, and immediately the teacher fell to the ground. Jesus returned home. Joseph was distressed and commanded to Mary, "Don't let him leave the house, because when he gets angry, people die."
You fucking shit!
Oh, that's funny.
Is that what Jesus said?
Another teacher, who was a friend of Joseph's, "Bring the child to me, and maybe I can flatter him into learning." Joseph said, "If you're not afraid, my brother, take him." The teacher took Jesus with much worry and fear, but the young child followed him gladly. Going boldly into school, Jesus found a book lying upon the pulpit and pretended to read from it, but actually delivered a sermon. A crowd gathered and marveled at his speaking abilities. Like mine, I have excellent speaking abilities.
Right, you do.
But when Joseph heard it, he was afraid, and he ran into the school, thinking his teacher was also maimed or killed. But his friend said unto Joseph, "This child is full of grace and wisdom. Now I beg you, brother, take him home." When the young child heard that, he smiled at him and said, "Since you've spoken correctly, for your sake, I'll heal the other teacher."
Wow.
The other teacher was healed, and Joseph took the young child home.
Wow.
So those are just a couple of stories from the missing infancy Gospel of Thomas.
I'm glad you shared that with us, because I don't think everybody knows that part of Jesus' life.
Well, and you know, I know that you and Scott have kids, and you're going through the same thing. There's the rebellious time, the terrible twos.
My son walking on water. It's real pain in the ass.
Turning blood into wine or whatever the hell Jesus did. I can't remember. But
I thought you taught him those tricks.
Well, the reason that I bring those up is because we share the same experiences.
Yeah.
All of us, John. All of us with kids.
Right.
And you and Scott specifically.
Yeah, but you were never around, man.
I never was around, but I provided my son with more than appropriate guidance and father figure and Mother Mary.
Yeah, but if you love everyone, you're not giving your, you know, devotion to your son. What's the deal?
Well, some people say that, but philosophically, I love everyone equally. Therefore, even my own son, I love just as much as I love you, John.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. We'll have to get together in a Turkish bath sometime.
Well, that would be outstanding. You know what else I could do is when we're in there, and I love doing this.
Yeah.
For instance, there was a viaduct or something downtown in Chicago, and
yeah.
And I made the rain form the Virgin Mary
yeah.
on the wall, and then people just they come from all over to see that. When we do meet at the Turkish bath, I could do the same type of thing.
Right.
I'd make a water stain on the wall with the Virgin Mary.
I'm not sure if it's a water stain. It's a stain, but...
Oh, I see what you're saying,
maybe it's not
John.
A water stain.
Right. Can I have that sandwich with mayonnaise?
Man-naise.
I hear that.
All right. That's out of sight.
All right, then. So, you going to stick around, or what are you going to do? You going to... You're finished with the Gospel of Thomas.
Well, that's right. If you don't mind, I'd like to stick around because I love Phil's news. Oh, hey, you know what? I got the door last week, and it would be my pleasure to get the door again.
All right.
Let me go.
There he goes. We'll open the goddamn door. Oh, hey. Come on back.
Hey, Phil. Don't look so stunned.
Yeah.
All right, here he comes.
All right.
How are we doing on time?
We got about 20 minutes.
God didn't eat up the whole damn time, did he?
Just about.
All right, well, I brought in some W clips. W.
Did.
The W. We need
Phil
to hear from the
shit
W.
On.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. Test.
All
yes,
right.
Of course.
Got your cans on. You're all set.
Yes, I have my cans on.
All
and
right.
It's a pleasure being here again this evening. And
can you feel the presence of the Lord?
I can't. I really can't feel the presence of the Lord, but the door opened and there was nobody there.
Nobody
and it kind of freaked me out
yeah.
a little bit.
You were standing there for a
yeah.
second, and then you walked over.
And then I heard somebody whisper, "Allah Akbar."
Yeah, that wasn't me, Scott.
All right, Phil, we'll just relax, get your news together. We're going to play some clips
out
of W. Now, the first clip, W... is going to tell us about patriotism, John.
Oh, all right.
And how he does not think that dissent equals unpatriotic, but in the W's own wisdom.
Dissent equals, it does or doesn't?
You figure it out.
All right, here we go.
Within the law, and yet you admitted that there were
all right,
CIA
that's the wrong clip.
Okay,
that
this is number one.
Right,
oh,
that
opinion.
Is the, right. W's opinion. I'm sorry.
It'd be helpful.
We have Matt Lauer with the W coming up. So that's Matt 01, Matt 02, and Matt 03.
All right. Got it. Doesn't say Matt. It says W Matt.
W Matt 01. Of course.
W opinion. That's the one you want me to play?
W opinion on patriotism.
All right. Here we go.
No one should ever question the patriotism of somebody who, you know, let me just restart over. I don't question patriotism. Of somebody who doesn't agree with me. I just don't. And I think it's unwise to do that. I don't think that's what leaders do. I do think that I think that there is a difference of opinion here in Washington about tools necessary to protect the country. The terrorist surveillance program. What do you call it, Hutchison? The illegal eavesdropping program. IEP as opposed to TSP. There's just a difference of opinion.
It's a drag.
So wow. He doesn't criticize because that's not what leaders do, John.
They don't do that.
He's I don't know. Is he implying that he's a leader?
I guess so.
That's a goddamn joke.
Goddamn.
All right, so then W met with Matt Lauer over this.
Sure, God appreciates you saying that.
But. Over these secret CIA prisons.
Yeah.
Where who knows what the hell was going on. And we talked about this before. Anybody starts torturing me, I'm going to tell them whatever they want to hear.
Whatever.
Even if I have to make it up, I'm going to tell them. So what happened is they found out about the secret prisons.
Prisons.
And the W and trying to, and we know they were torturing people.
Yeah.
Right. And the W came out and said, well, we needed to do that because then we prevented all these attacks. And he listed a bunch of attacks that were prevented, which is completely made up. These attacks were never even planned or whatever.
Yeah.
Somebody just made it up. It's a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of propaganda. Catapulting the propaganda, but let's hear the W, what he has to say.
But isn't there that their job anyway, to prevent the attacks?
That is their job, to prevent the attacks. But they said they needed to torture people to do that.
People that don't even touch any Al-Qaeda. They don't even know anybody. He was tortured. Ugh, whatever. Okay, here it goes.
He said within the law, and yet you admitted that there were these CIA secret facilities.
Okay. So what? Why is that not within the law?
The head of Amnesty International says secret sites are against international law.
Well, we just disagree with him. And plus, my job is to protect you. And most American people, if I said that we had who we think's the mastermind of the 9/11, they would say, why don't you see if you can't get information out of him without torturing him, which is what we did.
Were you made personally?
My job is to protect this country, Matt. And I'm going to, within going the law.
Going to.
And it gets second-guessed all the time by people who don't live in the United States. But let me remind you, September the 11th for them was a bad day. For us, it was a change of attitude.
Oh, it wasn't a bad day for us. It was a change of attitude day. This guy is so goddamn delusional, John.
Hey, Matt, did he say man or Matt? You know, man?
Going. I'm going.
I'm going. And he gets all Texas on you, you know? Well, he's talking like that.
And the thing is,
when he gets tough, I got talked up.
The international community says that secret prisons are against the rules. I don't agree with that. So what happens when they start carting people off 25 miles and shooting them, executing them? The W, what about these executions that go on with no trial? That's not really fair, is it? I just don't agree with that assessment.
How can they try Saddam for war crimes? It's completely unethical to try this guy for war crimes when the W just says, well, I disagree with him.
Yeah.
I disagree with the international law. They don't live here. We can do what we want. So can Saddam use the same, I don't want the guy to get off, but can he use the same argument? Well, you don't agree. I don't agree either.
Well, Saddam doesn't have to worry about that because the judge, did you hear this story? The judge said that Saddam was not a dictator.
Oh.
The judge presiding over that case. He's not a dictator. He was never a dictator. There you have it.
No, I didn't know that.
Let's move on to the Matt Lauer clip number 2, where W talks about technique.
All right.
Were you made personally aware of all of the techniques that were used, for example, against a Khalid Sheikh Mohammed? And did you approve all of those techniques?
Killing thousands.
I told our people get information without torture and was assured by our Justice Department that we were not torturing.
It's been reported that with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, he was what they call waterboarded.
I'm not going to talk about techniques that we use on people. One reason why is because we don't have the need to adjust.
You missed the end of it, man.
I'm sorry.
The reason why he doesn't talk about techniques is because he doesn't want the enemy to adjust. Does that even make sense?
Well,
I don't want to talk about how we try to make people believe they're drowning to get information out of them, because I don't want the enemy to adjust and start practice on holding their breath.
Yeah, holding their breath.
And adjust.
Next thing they'll be asking God to help them. I was watching some TV program, and there was a Muslim guy, a British guy, and then some American guy that wrote a book. And they all pretty much agreed that leaving Iraq would make the people over there, whoever, the insurgents, Al-Qaeda, make them think that they won. They beat us and chased us away.
Mm-hmm.
But staying there and keep on pounding them and pounding them and pounding them, and we saying we won will make them grow and grow and be, and get to the point where they keep adding more and more of these terrorists, and the cells will get bigger in the U.S., and they'll finally... Either way, we're going to get attacked at some point again, because it's inevitable. I mean, it's just... It'll just happen. There'll always be somebody that's an enemy of the U.S. or somebody in the U.S., whether it's that American that blew up the Oklahoma federal building. What was it? Timothy McVeigh or somebody. You know, there'll always be
There's
somebody.
There's always going to be whack jobs out there, John.
But to keep on pounding them and pounding them and pounding and try to export the democracy at the end of a gun... is just going to get them even more powerful,
it's crap.
Bigger.
It's crap.
Now, the cut and run thing, whatever they call that, yeah, good. Let them think they won. Woo! We chased them away! And their philosophy is that if we get out, they'll chase us all the way back to the U.S. shores. You know, they'll get their tanks and their big ships, their battleships, yeah. And their aircraft carriers.
They'll be sitting ducks.
We'll be sitting ducks, man. And hundreds of thousands and millions of people will be killed.
All right, so the Matt Lauer does not give up here on the waterboarding.
No. Huh?
He goes after the W in clip three here.
Okay.
I don't want to let this within the law issue slip, though. I mean, if in fact there was waterboarding used with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and for the viewers, that's basically you strap someone to a board and you make them feel as if they're going to drown. You put them underwater. If that was legal and within the law, why couldn't you do it at Guantanamo? Why'd you have to go to a secret location around
Matt,
the world?
I'm not going to talk about techniques, and I'm not going to explain to the enemy what we're doing. All I'm telling you is that you've asked me whether or not we're doing things to protect the American people, and I want the American people to know we are doing so.
That's not protecting us.
Even though...
That's going to get us killed.
Right. It's breaking law, and because I, the W, have this whacked vision that I'm right.
Yeah.
And everybody else I just don't agree with. You're wrong. I won't debate. I won't talk. I won't do any of that crap. I'll just keep on with my I'm right attitude and F all he is.
Yeah.
And this guy is taking this country down faster than whatever.
No doubt.
Some metaphor I can't think of.
Well, faster than a lead balloon.
A lead balloon. There you go.
Well, did you hear that feedback, man?
No.
Oh.
Rummy's also in the news, John.
Fucking Dumsfeld.
Donald Dumsfeld unveils a new justification for the Iraq war. Because the old justification, WMDs.
Right.
Yeah, that wasn't there.
Yeah.
The link between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. Yeah, even the W said that that didn't exist. So you know what the new link is?
No, what's that?
For the reason? High gas prices. Secretary of Defense Donald Dumsfeld has introduced a new rationale for the invasion of Iraq, high gas prices. The fact of the matter is, and this is Rumsfeld talking, if Saddam Hussein were still in power in Iraq, he would be rolling in petrol dollars. Think of the price of oil today. He would have so much money, and he would be seeing the Iranians interested in a nuclear program, and he would be seeing North Koreans developing nuclear program, and he'd say, well, why shouldn't he? And he would. He would develop a nuclear program. So we're fortunate that he's gone. John.
Well, wait a minute. What's wrong with Saddam selling for more money? I thought that was capitalism.
Right, but he would use that money for terror, John. For terror.
Oh, you bullshit.
And develop nuclear weapons, John. Nuclear.
The stupidest thing Saddam did was give the Hans Blix and all those guys a hard time when they came in to search everywhere. If he didn't have them, he should have just said, "Fuck, look around, go ahead." And then if Bush went in there, then it'd be like, "Okay, you're gonna try me for what now?"
Right.
Because I broke 16 resolutions of the international whatever the fuck it is, that Bush always says, 16, 17, I don't even remember how many it is now. Yeah, it's fucked up.
Well, I got this story right before I left to come here, John. This is right off the wire.
Right off right the press.
This is a PSA.
Yeah.
And we talked about getting hit again. We're going to get hit again, regardless of what the hell goes on, because sure. Islamo-fascists are in Bush's
They're
own
nuts.
Terms. These guys are nuts.
And Bush needs them.
They are effing insane.
Bush needs them. He needs Osama.
A new Al-Qaeda field commander in Afghanistan is calling for Muslims to leave the U.S., particularly Washington and New York, in anticipation of a major terror attack to rival September 11th, according to an interview by a Pakistani journalist. Abu Dawood told Hamid Mir, a reporter who has covered Al-Qaeda and met with Osama bin Laden, that attack is being coordinated by Adan al-Shirakamaja and suggests it may involve some form of weapon of mass destruction smuggled across the Mexican border.
So every day in the news we're talking about Iraq, but every day the orders are still coming out of Afghanistan.
Right, out of Afghanistan. But you see, Iraq is the central point of terror,
yeah.
John.
Yeah, terror.
Terror. Right. Yeah, terror.
And there's no really, 500 maybe Al-Qaeda. What didn't they just miss up bombing a bunch of Afghani
Al-Qaeda's? That's the one damn story that I don't have, and that was the one that pissed me off more than anything, John. Pissed me off more than anything. I think I sent you the link to that story. I don't have the documentation in front of me, but get this. Get this, John.
I'm getting it.
We had our sights on, 250?
190.
190 high-ranking Taliban, Al-Qaeda executives, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And we had our sights right on, dropped a bomb right on, but no. They were at a cemetery or something. They were there for a funeral. And what pisses me off so much about this, it's against the rules in Geneva Convention. You can't have wartime in a cemetery. Okay, whatever. Whoever came up with that stupid rule, I don't know. That's fine. But the W is changing all the rules of our goddamn Constitution, taking away our fucking rights, our freedoms, taking all this shit away, because he doesn't agree with it. But he'll agree with this, I can't fire on him in the cemetery.
The enemy, you know, hanging
Let's
out at the funeral.
Let's give the enemy more goddamn rights than than I take away from my own citizens.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
So that I can protect them.
Yeah.
Oh, that pissed me off so much.
And waterboard people.
Yeah, let's waterboard.
We ain't got to talk about this.
Techniques,
John.
I don't want the enemy to know and adjust. I don't want him to adjust. That one feller that he could hold his breath for 9 minutes. That magician. An illusionist.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Doug Henning.
Doug Henning. No, not that one. That whack job that that would stand on a pole for days at a time.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck is his name? See, don't even remember.
And then these other stories are coming out. Okay, so W is doing everything he can to protect us. But get this. Thousands of students from Saudi Arabia are enrolling in college campuses across the United States. This is under a new educational exchange program brokered by the W.
Oh, my God.
And Saudi King Abdullah. The program will quintuple. Quintuple? That's a lot. The number of Saudi students and scholars here by the academic year's end. And big public universities from Florida to Kansas are in fierce competition for the tuition dollars.
Wow.
The kingdom's royal family, which is paying full scholarships for most of the 15,000 students, says the program will help stem unrest at home by schooling the country's brightest in the American tradition. The U.S. State Department sees the exchange as a way to build ties with the future Saudi leaders and young scholars.
And young future Al-Qaeda.
How many of the 15,000 are already signed up for Al-Qaeda?
Yeah.
Or Qaeda, whatever the hell.
How many of the 19 hijackers were Saudi? 15.
15 of them. So let's bring them over here and educate them so they can carry out terrorist attacks more efficiently. Stupid asses. I can't believe this guy's running the country. I can't believe it, John.
All right, that's enough of the Bush. You got to go right on to Phil because we're already at 40. We're over budget now.
Okay, hold on. I just got a couple of stats. You know, you talk about this all the time. And the war on terror. What does that mean, the war on terror? Well, here's some stats. being shot by law enforcement. You know how many people were shot by law enforcement?
More than were killed
right,
September 11th.
Right, more than were killed
sure.
in September 11th. 3,949. Why don't we have a war on being shot by law enforcement?
Right.
How about that?
There you go.
Accidental firing of a gun.
Into your face.
8,536. Why don't we have a war on accidentally firing of
a
gun?
Dick Cheney. A war on Dick Cheney's.
Alexecution. Electrocution. 5,171 electrocutions. Let's have a war on electrocution. Killed by the flu, John. 19,415.
There's no war on the flu.
How about this? Dying from a hernia. 16,742.
Oh, wow.
How about a war on dying from hernias? How about a war on preventing weightlifting? a war on lifters. Weightlifters.
How about self-inflicted gunshot? Oh, you said that one already.
Dying at work, 59,000 people. I think we should have a war on work. No,
it's about time.
Let's not go to work
anymore. It's about time we had a war on work.
Driving off the road. Get this. 254,419.
Drive off the road.
Let's have a war on driving off the road.
No doubt, Scott.
How's that war on driving off the road going there?
it's a central part of terror.
Yeah.
War on driving off the road.
What a bunch of crap. All right. Whenever you're ready to turn it over to Phil.
All right. I know you're upset now.
Pisses me off. The W.
$469 billion later. We have this war on terror.
War on terror. It's never going to end.
Never going to end. It's called the long
safer.
War. We call it a safer long
but we're
war.
We're not safe yet, John.
We're safer, but we're not safe yet. You could say that forever.
And that's
anybody
what they'll do.
It cracks me up. Anybody who buys into that is an idiot. The stupidest fucking person. Persons. 50% of America believes this idiot.
No, it's less than 50, isn't it?
Whatever it is.
It's got to be.
It's still a lot.
It's too many.
I bet you they're all Scientologists, too. Scientologists and good Christians like Fred Phelps.
Right.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John.
Welcome, Phil.
And our first story tonight comes from a listener. Bellatrix sent this story in to me.
Wow.
And I will now read it here on TTN. This is a groundbreaking moment, John.
All right, yeah.
A first news story sent in by a listener.
We got to have more of that.
Edwin Jordan Taylor, the creator of the ever-popular Hokey Pokey, died last week around age 83. Nurses at the residential home where he was situated said that he was passing was peaceful. Funeral services, however, found a problem preparing the body. James Longman informs that, "We prepared the body for a standard open casket funeral, as requested by the family. Everything went well until it came time to put the body in the coffin. We put his left leg in, and that's when the trouble started." Next story, John. Remember that U.S. service woman who went missing in... Hold on. I dropped my paper. Hold on. All right, I'm back. Remember that U.S. service woman who went missing in Kazakhstan? Do you remember her, John?
Yeah.
And was later found safe?
Yeah.
Turns out she was just wasted and couldn't find her way back to base. Next story, John. Kenneth Ray Brooks is sore, embarrassed, and awaiting trial after his attempt to rob a Florida bank ended with his trousers exploding. Liar, liar, pants on fire! A bungling thief walked into Orlando's Centro Bank and shouted, "I'm holding down the joint!" Police reports said he then stuffed a sack of bills into his waistband and pushed his money down and out of view. Shortly after he left the bank, a dye pack concealed in the money exploded. A police spokesman said witnesses said they could see smoke coming out of his pants. Officers attended the scene quickly identified the suspect by his discomfort and bright red dye on both hands. Having been interviewed by police, Brooks walked very slowly to a waiting ambulance. He was treated for burns and charged with attempted robbery. The FBI will also advise him on the best method to remove the dye from his hands and lower torso. Oh. Next story, John. Beatles to appear on British stamps. Post office warns packages sent with the Sergeant Pepper stamp may have a bad trip. Next story, John. A 27-year-old man has been charged with stalking a number of women on the Gold Coast while searching for a Hershey Highway. While searching for the Hershey Highway, a man from the Miami and Surfers Paradise was arrested on Saturday after allegedly being found in a cubicle of a female public toilet at Main Beach, peering over the partition and performing an indecent act. He has been charged with 5 counts of trespass, 4 counts of stalking, and 3 counts of committing an indecent act for offenses committed over the past few years.
Oh.
His other allegation, alleged offenses, involve acts committed in public toilets and entering the yards of Gold Coast residents.
Wow.
Next story, John. The Saudis say we have only tapped 18% of the global oil supplies. Only 18% of the global oil supplies. In other news, the oil companies have tapped 100% of our asses. Next story, John.
And I own, you know, one of those.
This band's favorite instrument happens to be the unconscious skin flute. I'm sorry, let me say that again. This band director's favorite instrument happens to be the unconscious skin flute.
Wow.
The director of the Delaware State University band has been charged with raping a student. Miguel Bonds was arrested Sunday night and charged with second-degree rape, 2 counts of third-degree unlawful sexual conduct, and providing alcohol to an underage person. Authorities said the 20-year-old student told investigators that after the school's football game Saturday afternoon, he mentioned to Bonds that he was planning on pledging a fraternity next year and that Bonds offered to teach him what he needs to know about pledging. He said he followed Bonds to his apartment where he watched a movie, according to authorities. The student said that Bonds gave him a drink made with vodka and that he immediately felt dizzy. As he drifted in and out of consciousness, Bonds began performing oral sex on the student and touched him inappropriately. The student awoke Sunday morning naked on the floor and nauseous. After leaving the apartment, he received a phone call from Bonds, who asked whether he remembered anything.
Do you suck dicks?
Next story, John.
Oh, man.
Triple amputee arrested for assaulting wife. Triple
amputee. Triple
amputee. Even though he was unarmed, state attorney says he hasn't a leg. Hold on now. Even though he was unarmed, state attorney says he hasn't a leg to stand on with self-defense claims. Next story, John. Former heroin addict and ex-con claims to be second coming of Jesus Christ. Really likes the Rolex watches and other gifts from his growing congregation.
That is one big
Jose Luis de Jesus claims there is no heaven, no hell. Followers believe all or other religions must be destroyed. Doral, this is out of Doral. His name is Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. His followers call him everything from apostle to dad, or simply Jesus Christ man. De Jesus Miranda himself believes he's the living incarnation of the Jesus Christ the man.
Christ.
The second coming of Christ. A follower of his believes he is God. He is God. She also lavishes him with money and gifts.
Oh, God.
I don't have one Rolex. Did Jesus Miranda said, I have 3 because they want to give it to me. It's like that woman that came to Jesus with the expensive perfume and put it at his feet. He didn't reject it. So when someone gives me a wash or a gift, I receive it. I like them too. They're very nice. This self-proclaimed son of God is a 60-year-old former heroin addict and convict.
Nice.
The divorced father of 4 was born in Puerto Rico and now lives in southern Florida with his second wife. Next story, John.
Shit.
America's fascination with Katie Couric ends quickly. Second week ratings going down like a crack whore at a Shriners convention.
No.
Next story, John.
No. Not my Katie.
Wife chops off dead husband's penis in hospital so she could keep it as a souvenir. Bonus, she wrapped it in foil and kept it next to a jar of Jergens. A wife aged 65 chopped off her dead husband's willy in a hospital so she could keep it in a pickling jar as a souvenir. Uta Schneider used a butcher's knife to hack off the treasured manhood. She wrapped it in foil and put it in a lunchbox next to the Jergens.
Oh.
But she was spotted by a nurse and arrested in Stuttgart, Germany. She is accused of mutilation. Uta was wed to Heinrich, 68, for 35 years.
What the fuck?
She told police... She told police, it was his best asset and gave me so much pleasure. I wanted to pickle it for eternity. He would have wanted it. We called it his joystick. I wanted it to remember him by.
Cock
next push-ups? Story, John.
Cock push-ups?
Japanese car maker Nissan is developing intelligent transportation system that will send wireless messages to passing cars. Did you get that? It will send wireless messages to passing cars.
Great.
By popular demand, first message will be...
You fucking dick!
Next story, John. Is that an erect penis in your microwave? Or are you just happy to see me? And this is our last story tonight, John. Is that an erect penis in the microwave, or are you just happy to see me? The case of the penis in the microwave was settled this morning with an agreement on a disorderly conduct plea. And this is a follow-up story, John, to a story that I did last week.
Yeah,
Meganese Port Captain Brian Woschowicz said Lisa Crichton, 41, of Wilkesburg, has agreed to take full responsibility for the incident in which she asked a clerk at a get-go convenience store to warm up a penis-shaped device in the store's microwave. When the object gave off an odor, the clerk checked out on it. All right. The clerk checked on it and found that she thought was a real penis. Mrs. Crichton agreed to plead guilty to disorderly conduct. Her companion in the case, Vincent Bostic, 31, of Pittsburgh, who is also charged, will have the case against him withdrawn. The two entered the convenience store in February, asked the clerk to place the device in a microwave in order to bring the urine-filled device up to body temperature so Miss Crichton could pass a drug test to get a job.
Oh,
Mr. Bosick's attorney, William Diffendiffer, said Mr. Bosick has agreed to replace the $425 microwave at the store in exchange for the charges being dropped against him. And that was not the last news story, John. I take that back. Next story. A jealous nun appeared in court charged with threats to kill and an arson attack on a priest's home after she caught him in bed with a married woman. Sister Sylvia Gomez de Sosa, 39, said saw red and set fire to Father Carmelio Mataro's house after she nabbed him in flagrante. The furious nun, who was also Father Camilio's cleaner, was also armed with a machete and threatened to kill the priest before being restrained by passersby. She told the hearing...
How's it going? How's it going?
I just flipped when I came to the house and caught him in bed with another woman who was married. We have been together for years and I had even two abortions because of him.
Next story, John.
I thought that was the last story.
I thought it was too, but I had one more page left. Fall is almost here, John. Time for raking leaves, carving pumpkins, and weenie roasts.
Yeah,
in Montreal, a woman has pled guilty to setting her boyfriend's penis on fire with fondue fuel while he slept after an argument. He suffered third-degree burns on the groin and spent a month in the hospital. Next story, John. Last story. Next and last story tonight, John. New Zealand finds black cocks hard to swallow.
Better, closer, warmer.
It was a bloody silly idea in the first place, but New Zealand's badminton world may finally have to concede that calling the national team the Black Cocks really is a bit too strong, the New Zealand Herald reports. Badminton New Zealand adopted the name a year ago as a gimmicky label to attract sponsors and fans. It worked to a degree because the organization was quickly inundated with cash offers from companies such as you. Guessed it. Condom manufacturers.
That is one big title.
The International Badminton Federation has decided not to take the Black Cocks lying down. And they admitted they don't want to see the game lose its composure for the want of a gimmicky name. If you're over in China and you get introduced as the Black Cocks, it raises some issues. And that's the news.
Oh, man. All right, Phil. Thanks for coming, man.
It was my pleasure. Always a pleasure. And
is the Lord going to walk you out?
I hope so.
All right.
Uh-oh, I'm levitating.
Whoa.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I'm moving away from the mic, but I'm not walking. I'm levitating. All right, then.
Well, who's walking? Later. Wow.
Well, that was me, John. I gave the effect that I was walking, and actually I picked Phil up, levitated him, moved him to the door, and
that's
and
freaky.
Shoved him out. Wow. I'm sorry if I freaked anybody out, especially Phil. I wouldn't want to freak Phil out. He's
oh, so you picked him up, and
yeah,
it looked like because we can't see you,
right? So he just levitated there and kind of freaked
you
him
got
out.
Some heavy feet, dude.
Yeah, he wet his pants, but I'll take care of that. I'll clean that up for him.
All right. That's great. All right. That's all the time we have this week for AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And I'm the Lord.
All right. We're out of here.
And I am the Lord.
Yes, you are.
All right, John.
Okay.
And Scott.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Listening to John and Scott
on Total Talk Nonsense.